Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Win Your Daily Battles podcast. My name is Jamie, and I'm the host for your show. To all my fellow cancer survivors out there listening and to anyone going through hard times, this is going to be such an interesting episode because I have with me today, who gave me his time all the way from Lima, Peru, who is a mental health expert, a stage 4 cancer survivor for 3 times. Can you believe it, guys? 3 times. And he is a founder of this app called On Track app, which is very, very interesting. And I would rather have him explain to you guys what it's all about exactly. But what I'm really looking forward to is exchanging stories because this man is, as I said, similar to me. I've been a survivor for, I think, 3 or 4 times now. I've lost count. And so it's so interesting to have a perspective of a male for a change. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome on today's podcast show, Mr. Chad Walkaden. Hi.
Thank you. Hey, how are you? Thank you very much for that introduction. It's amazing. Very much looking forward to today. And I'm like, as you said, like sharing stories. I'm so keen to find out about you as well. So yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm here to give your audience value. I'm hoping that there's a lot of lessons that people can learn from both of our stories and our experiences. And I'm an open book, so let's go for it. Yeah.
Please. I'm sure the audience are a little excited more about you because they always hear about me. So tell us about you. What are you about? What's your cancer journey about? How did you come across this app? And how did you end up in Lima, Peru, for crying out loud?
Yeah, lots of questions. So the most important thing and the most important take home that I think people can take from this is the importance of love, right? So the importance of love and being love, accepting love and giving love. And I think that one of the most fundamental points that shifted my life and brought me from a man who was dying of cancer to where I am now with a lot of opportunity and, you know, still at the start of my career, I don't really feel that I'm just starting, right? And we're just getting going with this whole thing called On Tracker. And it all comes back to love. It comes back to my marriage with my wife. And that's why I'm in Peru. It's because of her. And I think the biggest shift was cancer takes away love. Cancer, you know, has the capacity to shine a torch on our vulnerabilities. And I think coronavirus is doing that and touching many people at the moment. You know, there's a lot of fear that's occurring at the moment and there's uncertainty. So you feel that you don't have control, et cetera. And what that can do is eat away who we see ourselves to be. So our identity of how we see the world and how we see the world seeing us. Do we feel, and I know that many people have said this before as well, do we feel that we're belonging, like that we're deserving of love? Do we feel that we can belong in a position of love when we're working through these struggles and challenges? And do we perceive or do we think that the world can actually see us for someone that can be loving as well? Or they just see us as a label, you know, they just see us as that cancer guy or that cancer girl. So the biggest thing was being able to accept love and being able to get into a position where really that was the most fundamental, you know, so love was the most fundamental shift that had occurred in my life. And I know to go really deep, particularly for guys out there, I kind of feel like we need a strong woman at times. It could be a man as well, but my experience has been a woman, but you need a strong woman to be able to kind of nurture you and nurture that man to really come out who's inside all of us. And it could be like that little boy that's inside of us, right? Or this man that we're destined to become, but we're kind of stuck in this zone. And I think what's so essential is having a strong, caring, loving woman to be able to cultivate some of that out of us. Yeah.
I love that you're acknowledging that we do need each other to make things better, you know, because I think we're coming from a generation now where it's so individualistic. Everyone is just relying on the phone, on themselves. And I was guilty of that. You know what? Cancer actually taught me what you're saying, because I used to be this arrogant, know-it-all person. Like, I want to be independent. I don't like people helping me. I want to figure things out on my own. And then when cancer hit, that's where I realized that, oh, wow, I do need people. I do need love. Yeah. I need care. I need my parents. I need my friends. I need a man. Like, you realize that Yeah, you can do it on your own. I tried it, but I fell into this deep depression during my journey. I was beating myself up thinking like, oh, I'm no longer of value because I have cancer. So I'm like a damaged good, and no one wants to hang around someone who's sick and who's thinking about mortality. And then, you know, so you just spiral down and go down and go down. And then that's where I just had a eureka moment. Thank God, like with prayers, meditation, and all the, you know, healing I've done, I've had this courage to break off of that thinking of like, I'm just by myself and I don't need people, because we do need people.
And I would say we need the right people, because what's, you know, what you've got at times is you've got something which is newsworthy, right? So I lived in the UK for 4 years. So I wasn't with my family and my immediate friends and like people that I had grown up with. And then as a result of getting diagnosed with a stage 4, so think about a rugby ball, like 20 centimeters by 15 centimeters. That was inside of me. And so I came back home as the stage 4 cancer guy. And so a lot of the times we've got to think about identity and, you know, our place and our fit with the world. And there's different things that you're saying about going it alone. There's many things that resonated with me. I didn't tell anyone. You know, once it came back the second time, I really limited who I told about what was going on. And the third time, I didn't tell anyone except for this girl that I met. So I met a girl on the Thursday. To give you a bit of an indication, I got diagnosed with stage 4. I had under 24 months to live. Well, they gave me under 24 months to live in 2014. And I then went on a chemotherapy after my surgery. And I was on a chemotherapy that was a derivative of DDT. So I was banned from human consumption in 1972. And I was putting that into my system, AM and PM. So my toxicity levels were extremely high. You know, a lot of nausea, a lot of fatigue. And there was no end point. And I've spoken about this before. Often when we're working through challenges, if you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, you've got something to anchor to. You've got something to hold on to. For me, it was like, you're going to die. And if you are here, which is like such a small chance, because we've already signed you off. If you are here, it's a minimum of 5 years of daily chemo. So that was my life, you know. And back then I had a little like pen and paper, and I was like jotting down how I was feeling, what my side effects were, how I was moving my body and what I was eating, etc. Right? Because I was doing what everyone wants to do. And I'm sure your audience, some people are out there listening now. And I guess to say, if we can just touch, like, hopefully we can touch many people, but if we can touch one person at the moment who's out there listening to this, because it's that information that you can, this day and age, the accessibility from technology, like back at home, this thing here is a container, you know? So when cancer's going on or when coronavirus is occurring, what are you going to fill your container with, right? Is it going to be stories that uplift you? Is it going to be coaches? Is it going to be information which you can anchor to support your move, like to support your individual movement for where you can go? Or are you going to fill it with concern and drama and chaos? Because all it's going to do, your container is going to be filled of that, right? So there was early decisions that I was making as a young guy about how I was kind of working through this. And also, you're not going to get it right. Like, I couldn't get it right. I was doing as well as I could. You know, I do as well as I can now, running a business. But where I am going to be in 5 years, I'm going to look back at my younger self and be able to be like, oh, man, you should have gone this differently. You should have been, but we can't, we don't have those upgrades, right? Our technology on our phone is only what I got a Pixel 4. Now the Pixel 5 will come out and that'll be a way better technology, right? But all we got at the moment is the best technology that's out there. And that's all we can be for ourselves, the best version of who we are, until we get an upgrade. And the thing with cancer is it has a capacity to give us an accelerated upgrade.
I was telling my friends, like, I shoot up to maturity, literally. Like, it's like the caterpillar theory I always say. Like, I was this caterpillar and I just didn't want to go out of the cocoon. Like, I was holding on. I just didn't want to grow up. I was this big kid who's just a free spirit. Yeah. And I just didn't want to cross the other side. And then cancer just like... Yeah. Oh, and then I thought I was going to die, and I'm still here. Yes. Like, honestly, I think as a survivor, every day you think about it, you know, wake up, and I'm the same every single day. I wake up and I say, thank you, God. I'm moving my hands. Okay. I have memory still. I can talk. I can move. Like, I check everything and make sure that, all right, functional, we're good. We're alive. Great. Every day is like that, because you don't know. Now I'm just living literally one day, one step at a time, because you don't know.
Yeah.
unlike you, I think my medical team knows that I have the tendency to really freak out, and my brain is super sensitive that if you tell me right now that, oh, if you drink water, you're going to die. Like, my mind will just like, oh, like my brain is like a kid, like a sponge. Whatever you tell me, I manifest it. So my medical team never told me any deadlines. Every time I tell them, they will just tell me, I'll tell you when you need to max out your credit card and go crazy. But until I say that, don't do anything impulsive. So that's the cue. So I haven't heard anything from my doctor, but I never ask like, how long do I have to live? Because I think I will program my mind if I hear that, oh, you're given one day to live. I think I'll do something unconsciously stupid tomorrow and, you know, manifest it. How did you take that? I haven't heard it in my experience. My medical team hasn't said any numbers about like how many years. They just say we're aiming for more years, hopefully decades, but it's all abstract in my case. So when you heard 24 months, how did you react? It's just, whoa. Sure.
There's a need to have belief, and belief can't always be explained, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have a belief, and I'm not just saying that you just need to believe, but there's different stories. Like, how does someone survive at sea? You know, there's a famous book, Adrift at Sea for 71 Days. How does someone survive at sea for 71 days? How does someone fall out of a 7-story window but survive? How are people able to do these like impossible feats in life that people, you know, was once thought as impossible, now is possible? Like, I think for me, it was like, I didn't believe it. I thought straight away when they said what was going to happen, I was like, okay, well, this is a wake up call for me. I need to be better. I need to be better, not only in my health, but in all aspects of my life. So I really saw it as an opportunity to be able to say, okay, I've got to get through this. I am going to get through this. Now, I'd be lying if I told you how I was going to do it. I didn't know, but I knew that there was a belief. Immediately, it was like, I'm going to get through this and I'm going to be better than before. There's no doubt that was like the first thing that kicked in, 100%. Now, were there moments in time where I doubted that? Of course there was. We're looking at the compounding impact of circumstances. So you get hit with a diagnosis, your body gets cut open, and, you know, waking up every day for, I think it was just over 4 weeks, and there was blood in my bed every day because my stomach would just ooze blood. So then you're waking up and you're trying to deal with all this and you don't know. So every morning you're waking up, you've got intense pain and you got this blood coming out and you're like, you know, what's going on? I'm trying to piece this together. Your family's trying to piece it together. Like, it's just like, so when you look at it that way, it's like a trauma, right? So it's a trauma that you go through. And so I was very, you know, I was fortunate in some ways because I'd worked with people in different circumstances, which I deemed like, you know, traumatic in the past. The challenge that you're working through, it can't be taken alone. So you need to recruit people around you, right? You need to recruit those people in your close circle, be that family or friends. You need good relationships with your medical team. You need good relationships because they need to care about you, and you just can't be a number to them. They need to be able to have a vested interest in your well-being. Then you need to rely on external support as well. So is that going to be people you reach out through internet? Is that going to be people you connect with on socials, or however it's going to be? But you need to form this A team. And importantly, the part of this process is working out like, who's in my A team? And then the hard decision is like, who's not making it?
This episode is brought to you by Four Sigmatic, a wellness company that is well known for its delicious mushroom coffee. I've been starting my day with their ground mushroom coffee with lion's mane instead of regular coffee, and I love how it helps me focus so I can get stuff done, just like recording this podcast right now. It contains lion's mane and supports productivity and creativity during my very hectic days. You're probably thinking, does this coffee taste like mushrooms? Nope, I guarantee it tastes like regular coffee. And it's easy on the gut, so it doesn't leave me with that awful jittery feeling or crash. And I've worked out an exclusive offer for the Win Your Daily Battles podcast listeners. You can receive 15% off with your Four Sigmatic order. Just key in my discount code, Jamie Wins, spelled as JAYMEWINS, upon checkout. So every day, let's make magic happen with Four Sigmatic.
And that's not something you need to broadcast on. Again, you don't need to do a story. These people aren't in my, that's not how you do it. But it's just for yourself and your own knowledge that I know that where I need to get to, I need to be like a horse, right? And I need to have like blinkers on where it's just like one focus. And anything that deters me from that position, anything that takes me off track, I don't want to know about. And I don't have time to go there because all I'm focused on is life. And so I need people, I need habits, I need information, I need everything that's going to help me to get to where I need to go. And it's kind of like you need to hack your life. And doing this, it was like a full-time job for me, right? So I was unemployed because I lost my job and I was signed off from the government. And that time was like, okay, well, how am I going to set up my days? And there was rules I had. I wasn't able to watch TV through the day. I had to do 2 hours of work on my mind. I had to start, you know, doing some meditation, my exercise, etc. I had to start eating a different way. All those things take time, right? And then you add in some sleep because the chemo, you know, wrecks your, you know, you're so fatigued and then you're nauseous, etc. Like you need to be all in. And to be able to go all in and make all these sacrifices, another key take home for your audience would be, like, why does this matter? Like, why does this matter for you? Because, oh my gosh, you're going to stop eating meat. Oh my gosh, you're not going to eat cheese. Oh my gosh, you're not going to do this. Oh my gosh, you're going to do this. Oh my gosh, you're not going to eat for 3 days and you're going to fast. Oh my God, like, how do you do that? And it's kind of like, it's so easy if you know why you're doing it.
Yes.
Right?
If you know the logic and how it's going to make you better and add to your quality of life, I'm the same, Chad. Like, it's so easy for me now to just eat very healthy. Sometimes, of course, social occasions, I give in little by little, but my daily routine is exactly like yours. I wake up early now, I meditate, I journal. I agree with you. It's a full-time job. You really need to take very, very, very good care of yourself. So
it's like rebuilding your body, right? So if we're looking at cancer, like my definition of cancer is, I haven't said this in a while, so I hope I say it right. I used to say it all the time. But it's a disease of the physical body that has a far-reaching capacity to touch the very inner core of the human spirit and those in close proximity. So there's kind of like three, and that's not a real definition. You're not going to find that in the dictionary. It's just kind of like what I like to say, right? So there's like three layers to it. The first layer is it's a disease of the body, right? So we got that out of the way. We know that. The second bit of what I've said is it has a far-reaching capacity to touch the very inner core of the human spirit. That kind of means this matters. This matters. It changes our lives. It changes our behavior. It changes our thinking. There's a ton of fear that's going to be associated with it. It's going to be very normal to go, what music's going to be played at my funeral? What's going to happen to my kids? Who's going to, like, all these weird and distorted and very destructive fantasies are very normal, right? But you need to kind of work through them. The changes are going to be very, very hard to manage. Maybe it's about your sexual health and you're a young guy or girl, and that's hard to talk about. Maybe you've got lasting impacts from surgery that you're embarrassed about in public. You know, maybe it's scars emotionally and psychologically from what the doctor was able to say to you or needles going in. Whatever it's going to be, like, there's a saying that you don't get to adulthood without some scars, right? Some emotional scars. Everyone's got challenges, but if you've been through circumstances like we're describing, there's pain and there's suffering there. There's definitely pain and suffering. Cancer's about fear. Cancer's about uncertainty. Cancer's about loss. Cancer's about worry, and cancer's about change. And if you have a look at those five things, it's like, think about it. It's very relevant at the moment. Like, what's going on a mass global scale at the moment with coronavirus? We've got all these things. And what's the impact? People are losing their minds, right? Because they don't know what to do because they're just so consumed by it. So what you need to be able to do is disconnect from some of this to focus on, well, what's giving? Because all these things do is take from you. Now, I got diagnosed with cancer, stage 4, 2014. Came back the next year and spread. So then I had an orange here, had two cancers here, and I had one cancer there. Then I went through multiple surgeries again. Again, the same thing occurred. They put an epidural in my back for pain management and didn't work on the first occasion. So I came up, I've got a vertical and horizontal scar. So I'd been cut open and I woke up out of surgery and there was no pain management. So that was 45 minutes until the anaesthetist was able to give me some, pain relief. The second surgery, the epidural didn't work again, but they luckily had my record. They had my records on file, so they had a backup. But I woke up out of my second surgery, first time I became conscious, and the doctor said to me, this is what she said, that didn't go well. That's what she said. Do you know what my body did? I went like this. And like unconsciously as a defense mechanism or like safe mode on your computer, you knock back out.
Yeah.
And when I came to, I was like, again, that has an impact. And although you're all drugged up, et cetera, it was like, no, what's going on? Like, where's my doctor? What happened? You know? And he's like, oh no, you're all good. And I said, well, she said this. But I said, well, she said that it didn't go well. He's like, well, let's put it this way, Chad. The surgery, it turned into a Quentin Tarantino film. You lost so much blood. There was something like out of the 80s. I haven't seen blood like this in a while. So everyone was covered in blood and your blood went all over the operating theater. But he said, we got the job done and it was a success. So for her, she's a young registrar. So maybe for her it was, but the outcome's good. The outcome is good, but the way we got there, and I'm asleep for all this, so I don't know, but yeah, virtually, I'm sorry if it's graphic for a lot of people out there.
No, this is real talk. Go ahead.
Yeah.
This is reality.
So that was that time in hospital. And then 3 days later, I'm recovering. My mum comes in with food. So I didn't eat hospital food back then. I was very lucky to have a number of friends who would come over and eat meals with me. It was very, important for my recovery to start getting good food back into my system. And my mum comes in all trying to be happy, right? Like, and I'm there, like, again, on some pretty big meds. And a doctor comes in and says, oh, Chad Walker. And I'm like, yeah. He said this postcode, which wasn't mine, a zip code, which wasn't mine. And then he said, liver cancer. And I said, no, I didn't have liver cancer. And he's like all animated. He's like, yeah, you do. And I was like, no, I don't. Like, I had an adrenal cortical carcinoma. And then I had some things taken out of my lungs as well. And he's like, no, man, we took out a quarter of your liver. That's how he said it to me. And my mom literally at that time went and like fell onto the bed. And it was like, whoa, we just need a minute here. And it was kind of just like talking to my mom to say, listen, it's already been done. We didn't know it was the liver, but we're going to be okay. Like kind of just supporting her through this. He bursts open the door and runs in and said, sorry, you're right. You didn't have liver cancer. And like, I just said to him, I said, mate, you can't do that. You can't look at my mom and look what you've just done for us. You can't do that. And there's different things that occurred. Like that's one example, right? It's one example of an array of so many different things that have occurred throughout like the experiences of cancer, which is just enough to derail you. The last thing. So after that hospital admission, I went home and I had my first scan. So, I had my first 2 month scan to say that I was all clear. I got the all clear, got to the car and called my mum. And when I called my mum, something was different. And I was like, what's up? This should be, I just got good news. And she's like, well, I just got diagnosed with cancer. So she got diagnosed with stage 3 cancer on the day that I got given the all clear. So then she then went into her cancer. She had a stage 3 bowel cancer. So then she went to have surgery, went in the next week because it was pretty serious. And then after her surgery, she went on 12 rounds of chemo. So then she went on, the chemo where you go in on a Tuesday and then you come out on a Thursday and you had the pack, et cetera. So that was a very hard time for my family. There was 2 of us in the house on chemo out of 3. And I lived with my parents. I was on the pension. I'd lost my job, et cetera. And so then my mum, which was my worst fear, that there was going to be a secondary impact. And that's another one for everyone out there. Your loved ones need to look after themselves. While this could happen to Jamie or myself, really that third piece of my definition, it has a lasting impact and the capacity to touch those in close proximity, is that while your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your aunt, uncle, abuelo, like whoever it is who's going to be with you, they don't have the disease, right? But often it's harder for the loved ones who are like, well, I feel helpless and I want to do more, but I don't know what I can do. So it's really just being mindful that you can't, you kind of got to look at a circumstance with an open mind to really see that it affects everyone in different ways. So by the time mum had got through her 12 rounds of chemo, I'd started to get a bit of an understanding about how I could kind of hack my system, right? So I started taking medicinal cannabis. I was able to start working again. So I was able to get my energy in check, and I was able to eliminate my side effects from chemo. So I kind of was living pretty normal still. So I got back to work. I was working part-time, you know, in a suit in the city. So I felt, you know, very normal, and everyone saw me as very normal, and I wasn't a cancer guy, which was super helpful for my own development. And then on the final day, so we're going to have like a little celebration for the family, because, you know, I think you may be able to resonate with this as well, in that, you know, we'd have birthdays, Christmas, or, you know, different celebrations, but there was always like a mist. There was always a mist, and that mist was one of concern, because it wasn't, and no one was really always like, yeah, like they may have been like that, but there were always like there was always a tone, which was evident. And I don't know if it was evident to a lot of people, but someone who is very interested in human behavior, I would always look at this and I would always realize that the thing was cancer, right? It was just like existing in the room. So we're meant to have a celebration. And I was meant to come home and join everyone that night. And I was back in my office. It was like 5:20. I was meant to finish at 5. It was 5:20. I was just finishing up something. I was on the phone to my boss. I just started working, as I said before, took a call from my doctor. And on the day that mum finished her final chemo, I got re-diagnosed for the third time. And that's when they said, you've been on treatment for over 2 years. You've had multiple surgeries. You've exhausted all options, and it's now, you know, it's out of control. It's all throughout your stomach, your lymph nodes and your liver, your lungs. And there's nothing we can do.
Hey winners, I finally found a skincare line that truly makes me feel like a winner inside and out. Meet Winner Skin. This skincare line is paraben, cruelty, talc, and silicone-free. It's definitely organic and natural. And of course, since we're based in the beautiful California, it's definitely 100% vegan and eco-friendly. It has always been my vision to inspire you guys, not just by my words and life experiences, but also to be part of your daily beauty routine. And that is why I'm so proud to present this to you, because it makes you feel beautiful minus the greasy feels. And at the same time, you're helping a kid win in life. $1 of each sale goes to our non-profitable organization, Campaign One at a Time, that focuses on helping children with life-threatening illnesses. So check us out on www.winnerskincare.com and be part of our winning journey to beautiful skin. Because remember, winning starts with your skin.
I wanted to be the one that told you this. And I hope to speak to you in 6 months, and hung up the phone. So I was left with that. And then I had to go and join my family celebration for like celebrating normality. And that's when I was like, yeah. So I was like, actually, it's, you know, it's happening again. And this time it's worse than before. So yeah, that was pretty hard for everyone. And that's when I made that decision that final time that, all right, like everything that I've done hasn't been good enough. And people were like, you're so hard on yourself, et cetera, et cetera. But really, I needed a result. I needed a different result. And so, yeah, that's when life kind of dramatically shifted for me. So I got found that out on a Thursday. And to come back to the very first point that I spoke about, love, that happened on a Thursday. On a Sunday, my friend said to me, we got to go for a wine. You know, we've got to just go chill out. Everything's too much for you. Just come and have a drink with us. Because I was like, no alcohol, no this, no that. No, I started to go through that whole phase again. And he's like, bro, just come and cut yourself some slack. And I was like, cool, I will. So we went down to this place and had a wine. And I saw this girl there. And I saw this girl and this beautiful, like, she looked Brazilian. So I ended up going over to her and just like having a little bit of a chat and met her. And that's now my wife. So she arrived in Australia, like, you know, just before that, like a week before that. And we met that day. And so then we were kind of like meeting up for coffee and getting food and dating throughout this time. And, you know, I didn't tell her, but, you know, I'd go meet her for a coffee and I'd been on the other side of the city getting scans all day and everything, right? And yeah, it was crazy, crazy time. And then, yeah, I told her after a month. So we'd been together for a month. And I said, you know, I said to her, I hadn't told anyone, didn't tell anyone in my family, no one, not one of my friends, what was going on. But there was this girl. And I said, listen, if we're going to kind of, if we're going to be together, you need to know some stuff that's going on for me. And being a Latino, in her mind, she was like, oh my gosh, he's got a kid. Oh my gosh, like he's got another wife or he's got something, right? And I said, no. I said, oh, I've got cancer and I've had it twice and it's come back. And she said, is that all? And like we kissed and then we never spoke about it. We didn't speak about it for 3 months. And that was the space that I needed. I didn't need someone to just be so consumed. Are you okay? She was there if I needed to. We spoke about it again in September, and that was in May. So that was the first time, and she just let me do my thing. We got a relationship in place, and it kind of, you know, that's why I'm in Peru now. And that's, you know, many reasons why I'm still here, I believe. It's like being able to kind of find and make love and be accepting for that and, you know, be supported in a loving way to kind of get to where I am today. Yeah.
I'm smiling because this is so hopeful. The story is so inspiring and beautiful. Like when you receive a diagnosis, you found love and now you're in this country that's far away. And I bet you didn't imagine yourself being here way back. Like this is just an evidence that sometimes you make plans, but life just happens. And here you are.
It's crazy.
So it's crazy, yeah. When was your third diagnosis? If you don't mind me asking.
No, of course. Yeah. So it was 2014, 2015, and then 2016. So 2016, it would have been late April,
yeah.
2016. I stopped the chemo. So I had 2 years of chemo and then I went on to immunotherapy. So then I changed to immuno and then, yeah, a different form of therapy and then all the different things that went with me as well. So, you know, why am I here? Love, advancements in technology, integrative medicine for sure. Because it's not only about an end goal, about being here. It's like the experiences of how you manage and how you can feel, right? So really being big on, like you mentioned before, my meditation, my breath work, my cold therapy, you know, having these non-negotiables that are in place every day. And I still live in accordance. I've got something called like me time. So me time is how I work on myself. And I'd probably do up to 2 hours a day on myself still to this day. And that's just ensuring that my body and my mind's in that right position. Because this thing here can either be your worst enemy, you know, can tell you worse things about you than your enemy would say to you, but we say it to ourselves, or it can be the best coach. You've got Anthony Robbins, Tony Robbins, that's in your mind telling you the opportunities to look out for and, you know, really, you know, supporting your strengths, etc. So your mind can either be something which is critical of you. Why are you doing this? Oh my gosh, you're doing this. Oh my gosh, what are they thinking? Blah, 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 blah. Or it can be like, go for it, go for it, go for it. And it's just getting your mind in that, and it's training, right? So you're not just going to get this, you know, it's kind of like, it's a get rich slow scheme, right? Jeff Bezos talks about this from Amazon. No one wants to hear about the get rich slow scheme. And I think, you know, mindset is the same. You're not going to get a new mindset in 7 days. You're not going to get a mindset in like 28 days. These things, you know, can take up to a year, I would say, even longer, of working on yourself consistently. But the end goal is it's worth it because you got something that works for you, not against you. And that's, you know, it's a superpower for sure.
The bottom line question for me, being a survivor as well, and for other people going through health challenges, is how did you survive cancer 3 times in the shortest possible way that you can say it? Like, what happened? Because we all want that. Like, I'm sure every cancer survivor wants to achieve that we just stay in remission or stay alive for as long as we can.
You need to see cancer like a broken arm. Now, this doesn't connect with everyone, but with a broken arm, you know, you break your arm here and what happens? Here and here gets stronger, right? So the whole thing is like in terms of post-traumatic growth, we have an experience which is traumatic and it dips us down here and it forces us. Everything gets out of control. Everything gets messed up and there's chaos. It needs to be. But then you can elevate your challenges. So for me, cancer takes up at 1%. I haven't spoken about cancer. I haven't thought about cancer probably since my last podcast. It enables these things and that enable me to kind of talk about my experience at times. But I'm not shackled. You know, I'm not in survivorship.
Yes.
I don't feel like I'm not there with this ball and chain, which I'm dragging around all the time, which is cancer. Say you like can project what your thoughts are onto the screen and it's going to give you a pie chart of where all your thinking and your energy has been. And if you went back into my mind, say 4 years ago, 5 years ago, the whole thing was cancer.
Yes.
The whole thing.
I'm
why I was eating. Yeah. Yeah.
And what same. If you look at my previous YouTube videos, because I started documenting all this because of cancer, I was a big cancer chick. It's all I talk about. It's all I complain about. My life is about the treatment, the side effects. It's just, you're yes. right. I was the walking cancer person. And yes. then it took me, like you, 3 diagnoses. Now I'm just all about meditation, inspiring stories, doing art. So now you're right. Like when people look at me, it's like, oh, she's Jamie. She's not the cancer. Because I think I jumped, but it took so long and a lot of work to get out of that. You're right. The shackles.
Yes.
You're just like, I lost yeah. my identity. I lost what? It's all about cancer, cancer, cancer. And
cancer. Yeah.
I was driving away people in my life because they just can't handle, they can't relate. But when I talk to fellow cancer survivors, we're all in this journey. Like we all experienced it. And it's a matter of just jumping out of that bandwagon.
Mm. And I'm not one of those guys that's like, I'm so grateful for cancer. No, I'm not. Because the pain it caused my family, right? And the pain it caused me. Yeah, I got to a position now. And there's also a massive vulnerability still, right? So if something goes on for me, I'm not here like lying to everyone going like, oh, I'm Superman, it doesn't affect me. It's kind of like, it's very easy for a time something to shift and me to kind of go, whew, okay, so my me time needs to increase to like 4 hours a day. Because if I don't immediately get on to say, the worst thing for me at times is like a bodily symptom. And I know this is something that I've heard from a lot of other people as well. So like you and I have been in a circumstance where our body's been working for us and that's all we know. And then something occurs which threatens our very existence, right? So it threatens to kill us, which is a danger. So our mind is super alert to danger. So when you feel something which feels weird, and not something you felt when you're 18, not something you felt before cancer, you get a bodily sensation, naturally there's a curiosity for the mind, right? And that time I was talking about how you got the coach or you got the bully, right? The bully's gonna take over and gonna be like, what's that? What is that? Do you think that could be something? And then if you don't get onto that initial thought, like people talk about your mind being a garden, right? And the whole thing, and I like that because it's kind of like if you get onto a weed early, you got a better capacity to pull it out. But if the bully starts whispering to you, like if you allow that to keep on talking, pretty much this is all you're going to hear. It's like a radio frequency. You can, you know, you can go, okay, what station am I going to listen? Oh, this is the noisiest one. And this thing is just going to tell you all the different reasons why you should be concerned and why you should be very alert to danger. And the result of that is, well, how then, well, if I'm talking to myself that way, how good am I going to be as a husband? How good am I going to be as a therapist? How good am I going to be as a leader? How good am I going to be as a mate? How good am I going to be, you know, how am I going to be as a son? You know, all these different roles, the identity roles that I have, if I'm not feeling my best, I can't be the best in these other domains as well. Because I'm preoccupied with this thing. And that's very common. Like we've got so many people with different mental health challenges. And if you're thinking that, you know, you're feeling inadequate about yourself, or you feel that you've got these voices or sensations that are occurring for you where you may hurt someone else or hurt others, how connected can you be at those times, right? Because you're so worried about what's going on. And then if we have a look and just pause and then go into your body, what's going on? Well, your body's flush with cortisol and stress. And if you're doing that, well, what's going on there? Then it's going to result in inflammation, right? And then if we know that inflammation is one of the biggest contributing factors to disease. So at the time, it's kind of like, well, let's wait. If you want to fight, right, battle through, or you want to overcome cancer, whatever you're going to call it, you need to get your internal environment under control. Because if the whole time you're stressed, your body can't heal. You need to rest and you need to recover.
That's why I am an advocate of using the word win. That's why my name is, my alias is Jamie Wins. Win your daily battles, because I don't like the word fight. Because, you know, when you win, you're chilled. Like, I won.
I'm the same. Yeah, I'm the same. I don't use fight.
You have that assurance that you've already won. You're winning. So no stress. Because if you say fight, it's like, I just don't like that word. It's just lots of like struggle. Like I got to fight to live and rah. It's so
Fighting's hard. Fighting's tiring.
There's no fight.
And if you're in a war, which it is, like, because there can be a fight, but for you and I, if it comes a number of different times, or for most people, that fight's ongoing. And if you're consistently fighting, what have you got left? And you need all that extra. You need that. You need to be here. So the whole thing, yeah, is it? And then maybe it's semantics. Maybe it's just the words. But for me, words matter so much. What we say matters. One thing I did was like write the cancer. So Josh Perry talks about this on Instagram. Like, you know, the whole use of my cancer to the cancer, which is interesting because people like have ownership of it. Yes. So in every single way, you want to create like a distance. So it's always the, not mine, because people are like, it's mine. And it's kind of like, it's a possession in some ways then. So you want to, and again, like, I don't want to get too deep, but there's a capacity in every single way to detach from it, right? Because it's already taken so much from you. And so then that whole idea for me was, well, I need to write the cancer a letter. And that's why I'm walking away from it. But it was like writing, it was like, dear cancer. And then it was like, you've taken so much. And there's ways, you know, I love writing and I love using language. So there's ways that I'm kind of like looking at it in terms of like how I'm going to be moving beyond it, etc. And I would say that would be very helpful for some of you people out there, you know, your audience at the moment. If you're in a situation and you feel that you're kind of stuck and you're not moving forward and you're not really on track, maybe, you know, if you are looking at cancer or if it's something else, if it's depression, if it's alcoholism, how do you write that a letter? How do you write that a letter and be super honest and super transparent about the struggles and the challenges and what it's been able to take away from you and what it's holding you back from? But that all involves, like, you know, a lot of courage and vulnerability.
To all my ladies in the Itsy Bitsy Boobies Committee, for far too long, our A-cup-sized bras have lacked in variety, comfort, and quality. I mean, are you still buying bras in the kids' section? Do you just accept that bad-fitting bras are now your reality? Good news. I found this brand called Lulalu this year, and I'm never looking back. They make bras for AAA, AA, and A-cup sizes. Yep, there's definitely a cup smaller than A size, and they do exist. With band sizes ranging from 30 to 38, made with premium materials and your comfort in mind, Lulalu will help you look and feel your absolute best. Give them a try. Visit their official website, www.lulalu.com, and get a 15% discount using my code JAMIEWINS, that's spelled as JAYMEEWINS. And let me know what you think. Enjoy shopping. Because we're taking away a lot, even me, that's why I'm smiling and really listening to you intently, because I am getting inspired as well. And I'm actually going to do that writing the cancer to fuck off. I want that. I've done that verbally. I've done the whole
speech.
Because I'm the same. I talk to it. And this year when I had the recurrence, I just literally spoke and said, like, fuck you. I don't need you in my life. I've learned already. Thank you. Whatever it is that your purpose.
Yes, good. Done. I've learned.
Now go and leave me, you know? So I said that, but I haven't written a letter. So you're giving me the idea of my next journal entry in my confidential journal to just handwrite.
I would say.
And really, like, just be honest and say that, you know, it's your purpose is done in my life. And
yes, a lot of my writing exercises at times, it's about what you don't even want to admit to yourself. Like, so everyone's thoughts are, and I'm glad you sweared, but you're able to swear, but everyone's thoughts are fucking crazy, right?
Yes.
You know, the mind works in a crazy way. So a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, I thought this and I'm not normal. And it's kind of just like, you don't know what's going on inside of my mind, right? Like, there's things that are crazy. And now even we don't want to bring it from our subconscious to consciousness because it's like, whoa, what does that mean for me? But then we just need to know that there's just stuff that's going on and it's not really a reflection of who we are, right? So the whole idea, one exercise, which I find super helpful, right? And I'll share with you. This is kind of like, I've kind of got like a tool belt, which is just these different strategies that I do at different times. And one thing which is really, really helpful for me is when I realize the bully is kind of picking on me, right? And not giving me a bit of a hard time, you know, the bully. So you've got the coach and the bully, two different sides of mindset. I will then get out my pen and paper, and I find, even though I've got an app, I find pen and paper works best, right? I find pen and paper, and I don't allow my pen to stop writing. So I need to have a period where I'll just go, it just needs to be a completely fluid transaction where I'm not able to filter. I'm not able to put a filter, and I'm just going to allow everything to come into this page. And there's some dark and, you know, very difficult things that I would never say to anyone out loud. But I've got a capacity to kind of put it into that paper and have some distance from it and be like, wow. Then I rip it up and I burn it and I chuck it away, because I don't want to see that again. That's not important. It's kind of just a way to kind of get it out. And you, but the process of getting it out, my friend once told me this, once you write something down, it turns into matter, right? So it turns, and it's just powerful. It's really powerful to think about it that way, because we can have something in our mind that we think about for so long. But as soon as we get it out of here and we put it down onto paper, it changes it. And maybe that's new. Maybe do this once and it's like, that doesn't work. Like, you're not going to... Like, people want this, like, as I said, just, I just want to be better straight away. Like, these things take time and you need to work, and you, the whole idea is like understanding what came out and understanding who you are and what your challenges are. Because then you understand what your challenges are, you understand what you need to work on. So it's a whole process. Like, working through these things that we're talking about at the moment is very difficult. But the other option is that you're just going to get consumed by the chaos and you're going to become stuck. So you might as well get on, you may as well take action to start with, to be like, okay, what am I going to start with? And a very good starting point is always nutrition and exercise. They're two easy things that we can control. You know, you control what you put in your mouth and you control how you move your body. And that's a very, very easy starting point. You then want to look at meditation, 100%. You start want to looking at sleep. And then you want to look at the other ways. Maybe it's cannabinoid therapy. Maybe it's other plant-based. Maybe it's ice baths. Maybe it's breathing visualizations. Whatever it's going to be for you, you need to formulate what this little plan is going to be like for your life. Maybe it's art, like you said before, right? It could be whatever it is. Everyone's going to be very different. But like business, success leaves clues. Health leaves clues. So you want to look at people that are doing well. Like for me, it was like, well, an Instagram makes this so much easier, right? Like, because back when I was going through it, I wasn't on Instagram that much. But if I would have reached out to you, or I would have reached out to myself back then to be like, hey, what are you doing on your daily basis and what should I do? Most people have got the capacity to share. So I would just encourage, reach out to people and ask questions. And if someone's doing really well and you're not, ask them how. And why? And there may be some patterns between other people who are all at this point, right? And you're like, oh, wow, okay, well, maybe I start doing that.
I just love seeing people survive cancer more than once, because I'm the same. It's technically four times now. So it's refreshing, because usually people cheer on you on your first diagnosis. I notice people are all about, like, especially breast cancer, there's such a big thing, pink ribbons and all that. Like, yeah, you go, girl. And then second recurrence, I think that's where people start to kind of back off, like, oops. And then third, that's where you really feel people freak out. So now I'm like, I need to talk to people who's gone through more than twice. And so when I came across your profile, I was so interested to talk to you, because I'm like, it's so rare for, especially for males, to come out of their story, because, you know, males are usually more private. Women, we love to talk. It's talk therapy. But for a man to put out a story, so it's like, wow, I want to hear this, like, three-time survivor just like me, we're in the same boat. So it's amazing. But Chad, I'm interested to talk about your app before I do the closing.
Yes.
And if you have any businesses or any websites that you can plug if people are interested to know about your work,
yeah,
let us know.
100%. Like, I think OnTracker is all about supporting you to feel your best. Like, everyone wants to feel their best. And there's a platform that you've now got, which is going to be free, and it is going to be free for you to access. And it's supporting you on a daily basis to feel your best. So it's personalizing your capacity to go, okay, these are the things that are important for me. And really, it's like, okay, you've probably got three health apps where you may be doing some journaling in one, you may be tracking some things in another, you may be doing some calorie counting or whatever it's going to be. OnTracker is like one health app which has your needs met. And it's the best updated information, evidence-based information to be able to support you to feel as good as you can be. And so there's home cards that you can personalize on. So the biggest thing for me, what's important for your health is habits, right? So we need to think about what are the things, what's your little date, what's your plan going to be like? What's your checklist of things that you need to go through, which is going to be super important for you? Then how's your mental health? That matters, right? Then there's like, are there different areas that you're tracking? Maybe there's anxiety, maybe there's pain, maybe there's focus, appetite, relationships, whatever it's going to be, you need to choose which ones are most important for you. For me, I track my focus, my stress, my relationships on a daily basis, right? So I just want to get an understanding about these things to keep me balanced. And then the key, the great thing about all this as well, it's all in one, it's all in your phone. It's easily displayed, the user interface, and it's super easy to use. But then you get a little checklist where it's a cool color coordinated system, which tells you in graphs based on your own data, how you've been feeling at what times. So you can go back and go, okay, well, I was feeling my best here. And it's interesting because I was doing that ab challenge at the moment. I don't know if you were doing an ab challenge, right? But you could have been doing anything at that point of view, at that point in time, or there's going to be another time where you're not feeling good at all. And it's going to be like, oh, these things were kind of going on. So it's enabling you to get more awareness about yourself so you can feel the best you can be. Then if anyone's a patient out there, you can kind of be like, well, you know what? I've got this accurate information at the moment and I'm able to say to my doctor, well, if you want to have a look at how I've been in the past month or you want to have a look at how I've been in the past 3 months, you've got a very easy capacity to just show your phone and say, well, actually, doctor, since we met last time, I can accurately say to you that this is how my life has been. So I've got an account all the time, which gives all the information to the doctor about what he or she needs to know about your symptoms and about how you've been feeling. And it gives it to them in their language, right? So we make it easy for you to insert the information, but then we put it in their language. So they can see it to be like, oh, you started taking X on that day and you've been able to do this. So like we've had this validated in Australia from a doctor to reduce the time for a doctor by up to 60%. Because you know what it's like when you go and your doctor says, how you been? You're like, oh, I'm pretty sure I felt nauseous on, right? Oh, there's different things that you're going. Now with OnTracker, this is how I've been, doc. Now this is what's been going on for me. This is what I've been taking. This is how I've been feeling. What's kind of next? And it just improves the accuracy. It's really like empowering patients to be able to get their control of their own health data in a very easy way to get the best outcomes and make it easier for your doctor or your healthcare practitioner to do what they need to do. And that is, okay, how do they detect things at an earlier basis and how do they support you to feel your best? Yeah, I'd love people to go have a look at it. There's going to be more things that are coming, but ontracker.com, ontracka.com, or it's available in the app and Play Store. And if you like it, please tell 3 friends. Please give it 5 stars. And yeah, let's try to create this movement, which is really about revolutionizing healthcare.
So to all of you guys who missed that, I will make sure to write the website and the information on the description of this podcast and YouTube. So please stay tuned. Let's all check it out. I'm excited to actually download it once I finish this interview.
And soon there's a portal. So we're going to give your doctor a portal. So then your doctor doesn't even need to see your app. We're going to securely be able to give access to your doctor so they can see before you even come in, they can know what's going on for you. And then they can send messages to you. And there's different things that are coming. But Jamie, I'd love you to go use it, please.
Yes, please. This is a brilliant thing. Thank you, Chad. I'm excited. Yeah. Chad, awesome. For my final question, I always ask this to all my guests. Since my podcast show is entitled Win Your Daily Battles, what would you consider your daily quote-unquote battle and how do you win over it?
Awesome. The daily battle for me, as you're probably telling, is my mind. So 100% it's my mind. It's either a coach, it works for me, it's my best supporter, or I've got a bully, the person who tells me all the things that are going wrong. So there's either...
You know what, Chad, my bully always tells me like, oh no, cancer, you're going to die, you're going to die. I hate that because that's my bully. That's where I get triggered and I'm like, okay, shut up. I don't need the reminder. We're all going to get there. Everyone's getting there. No one's exempted, but I don't need you to keep telling me that. So
another thing which you can do, so it's like giving you a message, right? You can unpack what it's trying to say to you, right? So there's different strategies. You're back again. You're trying to tell me this. So what does it mean that I need to focus on? you're telling me that I should be more focused on my habits and I need to focus on life at the moment. So I'm going to have a moment to be present and to take a breath and to do a visualization. Good reminder. So what you've been able to do there is change the capacity of the message, because then the bully's going to be like, I didn't want you to do meditation. No, I didn't. Like, so you, it loses its power on you, right? So it's kind of, yeah, different ways. Because if we block it out all the time, sometimes it gains momentum as well. So I just learned all this like staring at the ceiling for 2 years while I was on chemo. That's how I've got a bit of an understanding about how the mind works. But to this day, I only get to a situation with this thing through daily maintenance. So my biggest challenge, my biggest daily battle is my mind. And what I do on a daily basis is I've got a stack of non-negotiables. So there's certain non-negotiables that I do. But at the core, I think of what I do is uncomfortable work. The need to do uncomfortable work is something which is incredibly important. And I think it's very similar for people who are struggling and battling through, working through, loving through cancer, whatever we're going to say. And that is do some uncomfortable stuff on a daily basis. That uncomfortable thing may be doing a journal. That uncomfortable thing may be writing the cancer a letter. That uncomfortable thing may be going up and having a gratitude session with people that have supported you. That uncomfortable work may be going up to your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your auntie, your uncle, your abuela, and going up to them and asking them, you know, how it's going for you. And I allow you, you know, if you need to get out your tears, you can be vulnerable together. That uncomfortable thing may be having a cold shower. That uncomfortable thing may be 20 minutes of meditation. That uncomfortable thing may be fasting. Whatever it's going to be, you need to do uncomfortable work every day, because doing that prepares you for what's going to happen, and life is going to hit you in some different way. And if you've been prepared with this uncomfortable work, you've got a better capacity to do your best.
I'm just, my mind is so open like a parachute right now, and I'm just absorbing what you're saying, and I'm hoping our listeners are doing the same thing. I am just getting more inspired and motivated to keep winning day by day. And today I felt like I've won with you with all this conversation and all this.
Yeah, it's been a good day.
Treasure.
This has been amazing. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for taking time. I'm glad that I reached out to you. I'm glad you responded, and I'm glad we made this magic happen together.
Me too.
Even if you're all the way in South America and I'm in North America, see, the technology brought us together. It could work to our advantage. And having quarantine, which gives us the time to do this, is something as well. So it all worked out. It all aligned together. So thank you, Chad. Yeah. I appreciate it.
And I love your energy. And this has been super enjoyable. And I hope people get something out of this.
You've been great. You've been living and loving and thriving. So good on you. Yeah. Keep going. To all my audience listening, I hope that you're smiling and feeling inspired as I am right now. I hope that the energy that Chad and I have is being transmitted to you right now, wherever you are. And as I always say before I end the show, winning your daily battles is not about achieving the grandest things that we used to think about. We thought like, oh, if I get rich, if I get this, if I get that, I'm gonna be happy, I'll be winning. Winning is all about overcoming your day-to-day challenges. Like what Chad said, it's his mind that's his challenge. With me, it's the constant thought of like dying and all that. So I have to constantly fight the bully in my head, just like what Chad said. And so it's all about taking it one step at a time and celebrating the small little wins that happen to you moment by moment. So in behalf of Chad Walkhagen and Jamie right here, I am signing off for this podcast, telling you all to keep on winning and keep on thriving. I'll talk to you again in the next episode, you guys. Chad here and Jamie signing off. Bye.